All right, checky check, check check, 1, 2, check. There, it's going. All right, you guys, listen to the intro. I gotta go refill my coffee cup. I'll be back. Or I won't, or you'll get a podcast. It's 54 minutes of silence. I don't know, it'd be the greatest podcast ever. Just fucking sit there. You guys know who I want to kill, right? I mean, you know that there's a long list. You know who I really want to kill? People who fucking use Apple computers. God damn it, I'm so sick of fucking Apple users sending me emails and attachments and shit that are unreadable because it's fucking Apple or something. My Apple, so it's so easy to use. Yes, because you're a fucking retard. Hello, it's the great one. It doesn't sound like it. All right. Oh, God, I'm swamped. I'm just getting killed over here. We're not going to talk about shit that's going... I'll tell you guys about the stuff that's happening in my life later. But important thing to know is that my allergies, they've got to be allergies. That's all I can figure out. I don't know what I'm allergic to. But it happens every year when the weather changes, when we go from warm to cold, when we go from cold to warm. I get this thing where I fucking snot all up, and my throat gets all scratchy and what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of swollen? Other than that, I'm fine, except sometimes I'll get chills and muscle cramps with it. And at first, I just thought I was getting sick every year, and I was like, it's not... It's not like sick. It's not like flu or some shit, as far as I can tell. So I'm like, well, maybe it's allergies. I don't know what I'm allergic to. So I've... And you go, well, great one. Take some allergy medication. Oh, fuck you. I've taken so many different over-the-counter allergy medications. None of them have done nothing. So yeah, I don't know what the fuck it is. That's why you didn't get a podcast on Monday. I tried. I really did. I turned on the microphone. And I started recording. I got about 10 minutes into it. And... I couldn't fucking talk. So we're going to see how it goes today. Now I'm just fucking... All of a sudden, man. All of a sudden, I'm fucking swamped with work. All of a sudden, it's just everywhere. Plus, I just took another part-time job at another theater. So that's what I needed in my life, is one more part-time job. So we'll see how that works out. Speaking of things working out, let's get back to The Millennial's Guide to Changing the World, A New Generation's Handbook to Being Yourself and Living with Purpose by in-demand author and consultant Allison Lee Scher. We're close. I said there was going to be one more episode in this series. Well, there's probably going to be two, because I think today we're going to get through this particular part, and then next time we're going to get through the part where she blames everything on white men. And anyway. Also, be prepared. You're going to hear me at some point, I'm sure, sneezing and blowing my nose. Just deal with it. Here we go. So we're jumping in. I'm reading some stuff without the build-up for it. For Ben Droz to lobby about hemp, he has to know everything about it, which is probably why he smokes so much dope. Now I want to read this part to you because I know these people and I hate these people. And you're going to say, great one, talking about dope smokers, we know you hate dope. Yeah, no, not just dope smokers. I do hate dope smokers. But you'll see when we get there. I hate these people right here. We are talking about hemp, not weed. You cannot smoke because this is a book written for millennials, and millennials, of course, don't know the difference between hemp and weed. Right? I understand politicians don't know the difference, and I understand old people don't know the difference, but I repeat myself. The book is written for millennials, but you got to clarify the difference between hemp and weed for the millennials because they're the smartest generation ever. You cannot smoke Ben's hemp shirt or his hemp briefcase. Well, actually, you can. You can smoke anything if you set it on fire and inhale the smoke. But it's okay, Allison. We know you're not very bright. You have a vagina. My trash cans are all overflowing with tissue paper. Whew. I'm going through Kleenex like mad. Oh, by the way, if you're going to send me text messages at midnight talking about how hot the bartender is, be sure you send photographs. You know who you are. We don't need to mention any names. Let me check. Yeah, no. Well, I'm pro girls wearing high knee socks also. I would prefer girls wear high knee socks and nothing else. Yeah. So, send pictures in the future. Don't just tell me about it. All right, back to the millennials and how they're going to save the world. You know, I had the title for this episode. I came up with the title for this episode on Monday. Eric Cartman said that hippies, they want to save the planet, but all they do is smoke dope and smell bad. That's the title of this episode. Millennials want to say they want to save the planet, but all they do is smoke dope and smell bad. It's true. And I got to write that down before I forget it again. Why? Once again, I have like 7 clipboards. I can't find a piece of paper. There it is. Found it. Wonder if I have something to write with. Probably not. Oh, there it is. There's my notes. Got them. Man. God, this place is a fucking mess. Which is all going to get solved pretty soon. I'll tell you guys about it when I get around to talking about my personal life. Which I know is the most exciting thing in your personal life. Oh, I can't wait to find out what's going on with the Great One's personal life. Yeah. Anyway. The reason why hemp is illegal is because of the drug hysteria that emerged in the 1930s. No, the reason why hemp is illegal is because you inferior people can't exist without a government to provide for you. And governments always increase their power. Governments are never going to sit around going, well, let's figure out what we can stop. Let's figure out what we can leave alone. And this is something I've talked about in the past, and I've tried to distinguish the difference for you guys. And I know the less intelligent people can't get it, but I know my audience understands it. There's a difference between, everyone thinks, you know, like marijuana. We've legalized marijuana. No, marijuana is still... Okay, so first, marijuana was illegal. Let's start there. So the government controlled your access to marijuana. You, in theory, weren't allowed to have it, and if you had it, you could get in trouble. Okay, well then, the government, at least say here in the People's Republic of Colorado, legalized marijuana. Now everyone's like, well, see, now marijuana's all you can... No. The government still controls your access to it. You're still only allowed to buy it in certain places. You're only allowed to have so much of it. You have to pay outrageous taxes on it. The people who run the marijuana dispensaries are crushed under this enormous amount of regulation, right? To say that something is legal, that's not the same thing as it not being controlled by the government. You know, maybe another way to approach explaining this is stupid people will say that love is the opposite of hate, which of course those of us who know anything at all about girls and game know that that's not true. The opposite, love and hate are the same thing. It's a strong emotional response. The opposite of love and hate is indifference, right? If a woman loves you, there's a good chance she'll spread her legs. If a woman hates you, there's a good chance she'll spread her legs for you. But if a woman is indifferent to you, you don't have a chance in hell. And it's the same thing here. The stupid people, the statist, think that illegal and legal are the opposite of each other. And they're not. Legal and illegal are the same fucking thing. Both of them mean the government controls your access to it, right? It is legal to drive your car down the interstate, as long as you have paid all your taxes on the car, and you have a license plate on the car, and you have a driver's license, and you stay under the speed limit. See, that's not freedom. I guess that's the best way to say it. Legal is not the same thing as free in the sense of freedom, not in the sense of free beer. The reason why hemp is illegal is because of the drug hysteria that emerged in the 1930s. Ben says it's all nonsense. Well, I mean, Ben, yeah. Ben said this, and Ben's a millennial. Ben knows everything. Quote, the trace amounts of THC in hemp is akin to the opiates and is akin to the amount of opiates in a poppy seed bagel, unquote. I should throw in right now, look, it's not the hemp part. I completely agree. Grow some hemp. Make some shit out of hemp. I don't have a problem making things out of hemp. That's not where we're going with this. I couldn't give a flying fuck. I'm an anarchist. You want to grow some marijuana in your backyard and smoke it and fucking be a dope head? I don't give a shit. You could do that all you want and encapitize because my tax money isn't subsidizing you. Once again, the reason I am opposed to people smoking dope isn't because they're smoking dope and it's morally wrong or some horse shit and they're stupid, even though they are stupid. I know people who smoke dope, they're all low intelligence. And you, well, smoking dope doesn't make you stupid. Well, I don't know, maybe being stupid makes you smoke dope. I'm just telling you, the people I know who smoke dope on a regular basis are all low intelligence. I don't give a shit why. I don't care which caused which. I don't care, maybe neither caused either. I don't give a fuck. The only part I give a shit about is the part where my money is stolen from me by the government to subsidize and to regulate all of this. All the regulations on the fucking dope shops has to be paid for. Well, who pays for all that shit? Well, the government. Where's the government getting money? They steal it from me. Just grow your own dope in your backyard. I don't give a shit. But stop stealing my money to fucking subsidize the regulation of your dope shops so that you could get stoned, man. Dude, smoke weed every day, man. God, I want to just take a fucking rusty penknife and just slit the throats of everybody on the planet Earth except for the CSU women's volleyball team and myself and a doctor and a dentist. That's all I need to survive. That's it. A doctor, a dentist, the CSU women's volleyball team. All right, and a civil engineer. And an electrical engineer. But that's all I need. Hemp is not a psychoactive substance. So again, we have to explain this to millennials because they're the smartest generation ever. They smoke more dope than anybody, but we have to explain to them that hemp is not psychoactive. It actually has a myriad of uses from textiles, food, and all natural cosmetic products because we got to make ugly women more attractive to fuel, plastic alternatives, and building materials. Industrial hemp has a low THC content due to its high levels of CBD, a chemical that acts as an antagonist. To the THC in the weed that gets you high. In fact, CBD has numerous healing properties. Well, that sounds woo-woo. Like crystals and pyramids and oils. For the human body, CBD is a good thing, which is why we need hemp lobbyists. Or if we just didn't have a government that regulated what you put inside your own body. Where are all the feminists with my body, my choice? Oh, that's right. You're trying to get more abortions to happen. If you type hemp lobbyist as a video search on Google, Ben is one of the first people to come up. Well, he's accomplished a lot in his life, hasn't he? He used to dream of being a reality TV show star. Okay, so Ben used to dream of being a reality TV show star. That was his dream, being in a reality TV show. I would sooner kill myself than be on a reality TV show. Unless it was me and the CSU women's volleyball team, then we could talk. But the millennials, you dream big, don't you? He still does, in fact. He consciously uses his brilliant personality to walk behind the velvet rope, meeting politicians and getting attention from people in power so he can tell them about his cause. So basically, he's a lobbyist. We knew this, right? He's a parasite. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't produce anything. He just walks around talking to people, trying to explain to a bunch of fucking old people the difference between hemp and marijuana. Which, if you didn't have a government that controlled every aspect of your life, it wouldn't matter if the old people understood the difference between hemp and marijuana. But because Ben is a parasite, he needs a government to provide him with free shit, because he's not creating value for anyone. Ben Droz, who I probably should have Googled and I didn't. Ben Droz has deliberately made a character out of himself so he can make his cause a memorable one. Quote, I don't know about millennials, but I know about me, and I think the apocalypse could come sooner than they think. Unquote, Ben says. He opens his Twitter page and tweets at the Center for American Progress about climate change. Quote, our generation needs to do something about this. Unquote. Yes, well, maybe your generation could stop destroying the planet Earth with your cell phones and your plastic water bottles and driving around in your cars and everything. Not likely, though. All right, anyway, great. I'm getting to the point. Hold on. Quote, we need biodegradable plastics. Hemp can do this. My idea with hemp is for all the great products we have today to become environmentally friendly. The reason I'm into hemp is because it's an industry that can at least help get things better. Unquote. Says Ben. Okay, I know these people. They're all around here in Fort Collins. They all smoke dope. Dude. I can't do that on my voice. That's going to destroy my throat. You guys know the voice I like to do for that. Dude, smoke weed every day, man. That's them. And they all walk around. Every year we have the Hemp Fest here. And it's all these people walking around talking about how awesome it would be to make products out of hemp. And they're all smoking weed, and they're all stoners. And there's this one guy I know, I've known him for years, and he's always happy all the time, and he's never accomplished anything in his life. He's one of these people that he starts all these projects, and he never finishes anything, and he's always walking around with this great big grin on his face, and he's really, really happy, and he's really, really never done anything of value for another human being. And he's standing here and he's telling me about how we could make paper out of hemp. The royal we, could make paper out of hemp. It would be so awesome, man, and you could save the earth. And he's going on and on and on about how you can make paper out of hemp. And it's like, well, yes, you can. Why don't you people, like Ben and this other guy, instead of walking around and talking about how you can make products out of hemp, why don't you actually start a business making products out of hemp? Why don't you actually do something? Why don't you create some jobs by starting a company that makes paper out of hemp? Instead of telling me how we could make paper out of hemp and it would be so awesome and it would save the earth and dudes smoke weed every day, why don't you actually contribute to the GDP by starting a business, making paper out of hemp, and experience paying taxes so that we can transfer funds from people who actually work for a living, making paper, a useful product, out of hemp, to single mothers who sit around at home spitting out babies when they don't even know who the baby daddy actually is. That'd be fantastic. I really fucking hate lobbyists. And I hate these people. They just can't stop talking about how great hemp products are. But they've never made any hemp products. Moving on. Let me find the next part here. Here we go. All right, now we're going down the rabbit hole. Yeah, do I need to read this paragraph? Yeah, sure, why not? This will set the stage. Young people have always been known to be mistrustful of the government, rules, and law. Which I don't know how true that is with millennials, considering millennials are way into socialism, and socialism requires a large amount of government. Millennials see the ways the system fails to live up to its potential, in other words, the way the system doesn't give them enough free stuff, and the ways it actively oppresses its own people. Oh, the government is oppressing people, really? Gosh, and yet you people want more government. You want more taxes, you want more regulation, you want more transfer of wealth, you want the government to control all of healthcare, you want the government to control college educations. Do you not understand that more government control is, by definition, oppression? Or do you not understand what oppression is? Is it a conspiracy? Question mark. It's hard to say, though the answer is probably. Allison Lee Scher just said the government is probably a conspiracy. She's a conspiracy theorist. What's clear is that our government, no sweetie, it's your government. What's clear is that our government is based off a seminal founding document that has taken some major turns for the worst over the past few decades. It can, in theory, be improved on to solve the problems we're inheriting, but given the current state, it would take a miracle. Yes, and that's why there is no saving it. That's why you can either enjoy the decline or you can be miserable. It would require all of us being political. No, sweetie. That's the problem. Okay, all of us being political? That's not the solution. That's the problem. That's how we got here. So we had a point where in order to be political, in order to participate in the political process, in order to vote, right, you had to be a white man who owned property. But we needed everybody voting. And that's how we got to where we are. Because when the stupid people, when the parasites find out they can vote themselves money that's taken away from other people, they're going to do that. Right? That's exactly what you're doing with your free healthcare and your free college and your free birth control and your free abortions. Soon as you find out you can get other people's money given to you, whether it's just giving you the money straight up or giving you free stuff in return, it's over. So no, that's not the solution. It does not require all of us being political. It requires fewer of us being political. It requires only non-parasites be allowed to vote. And only men. Despite being a racist, I would not restrict it to only white men. I would restrict it to only men who are not parasites. I can give a flying fuck what color your skin is. If you're not taking money from the government, if you are actually producing GDP instead of sucking GDP, and you have a penis, you can vote in my system, whatever we want to call it. Great one. Do you mean no women? No, no women. Zero. Well, what? No, there's not this one woman who's smart enough to vote. I need you to stop with this one woman shit. None of them. It would require all of us being political and making large sacrifices for a bigger picture in major ways that may not have an immediate payoff. And if there's anything we know about millennials, millennials are always willing to make sacrifices for something that might not have an immediate payoff. Yeah, I mean, look how many millennials sacrificed by majoring in STEM instead of something stupid so they could, you know, work their way through school getting an engineering degree so they could make six figures instead of getting something like, I know I have new listeners. Let me tell you guys this story. This was years and years and years ago. And it was during some period of time on CSU campus, one semester or maybe a week. I don't know, whatever. But I remember I talked to three different girls, and they all were majoring, not at the same time. I talked to these three different girls who are all majoring in journalism. And I asked them all, you know, why did you decide to major in journalism or whatever it is a girl is majoring? You know, why did you decide to major in playing volleyball? And she said, well, I wanted to be on the CSU volleyball team so that I could get married to the great one. I said, that's fucking awesome. Let's do it. And I asked them, I said, why did you major in journalism? And all three of them said the same fucking thing to me. I'm not making this up, guys. And remember, when someone tells you they're not making something up, that probably means they're making it up. All three of them told me they majored in journalism because you don't have to take any math classes. Okay? So no, millennials are not going to fucking make large sacrifices that may not have an immediate payoff. Millennials can't even take math classes. Math is beyond them. The idea that these people should be voting is nonsensical. All right, we got to move on, otherwise we're going to run out of time. And I got places to be today. God, I'm swamped with work. Have I whined sufficiently about the amount of work I have going on right now? There's sand in my vagina, guys. Sand in my vagina. Parker East, 29, is an author. Now remember, Parker is an author. Well, Parker East, 29, is an author who at the time of this interview was about to bike across the country to build a cob oven. No, I do not know what a cob oven is. So what it says, cob oven, C-O-B space O-V-E-N. Not coven, like witches. He's going to bike across the country to build a cob oven. Now remember, millennials are going to change the world. They're going to save the planet. Parker says he's been living off his Jeopardy winnings from an appearance in January 2013 when he won around $7,000. Now, that was, so this is 2000, when did, was this book written? Hold on. This is pretty weird, 2018. So he's made it 5 years on $7,000. All right, I mean, that's some pretty serious minimalism. I mean, damn. In 2008, he was on the verge of dropping out of society. Okay. If you don't actually contribute anything to society, can you actually drop out of it? But great one. No, Parker East, he's an author. He's a best-selling author. Oh, yeah. I wonder what books he's written. Go to Amazon.com. See if you can find any books by Parker East. Good luck. Let me know how that works out for you. Can you drop out of society if you're not contributing anything to it? I don't think you can. Okay, in 2008, he was on the verge of dropping out of society to live on a bicycle and pick food off trees when he was convinced to work for 5 months on the first Obama campaign. So these are the people supporting Obama, people who are going to drop out of society and pick their food off of trees. Quote, I wanted to create change in the world. Change, man. Dude, smoke weed every day, man. Dude. Dude, did you know that we can make products out of hemp? Dude. Dude, did you know that hemp and marijuana, dude, aren't the same? Dude, smoke weed, dude. Quote, I wanted to create change in the world. Well, Parker, I'd like to beat the shit out of you with a lead pipe, but we don't always get what we want, do we? We don't get what... Change! My favorite word, change. So, remember, if you have a bunch of Jews, and then you put the Jews in a concentration camp and kill them, that's change. Because before, the Jews were not in the concentration camp, then they were. See, that's different. That's change. See, we just want change. We have no idea of like what would be good for society or bad for society. We don't know anything about economics or engineering or mathematics because we all majored in journalism and didn't take any math classes. We just want change because we're millennials and we're the smartest generation ever. And we're just going to say the word change over and over and over until we start to foam at the mouth and fall over backwards because change. And this is why fewer people should be involved in politics. Because if the word change comes out of your mouth in the context of saying a sentence like, I wanted to create change in the world, you need to be hung up by your feet and have your throat slit so that you can bleed out and die. Because you're a fucking moron. You are a fucking moron. And guess what? If I took Parker East and I hung him by his feet from a tree and I slit his throat and he bled out, that would be change. Because right now, he's not hanging upside down from a tree with his blood on the ground.
We want change!
God, I'm so fucking sick of fucking inferior, fucking low intelligence people. All right, I'm going to pause this and go get some more coffee because maybe that'll prevent me from having to kill anybody today. Be right back. Yeah, I could give you dead air, but I got a lot to talk about. I want as little dead air as possible here. All right, I nearly forgot to restart the recording, but... All right, where were we? Well, we had change. Quote, I wanted to create change in the world. Once I had the first taste of volunteering for the campaign, I became very heavy. Unquote. He became very heavy. I don't know what that... Well, I guess he ate a lot of food and got fat. And he volunteered. Remember, these are the people... Aren't these the same people that are always talking about a living wage? I love... There's this organization here in Fort Collins. I can't remember what it's called. I'd tell you if I could. But anyhow, their whole thing is that they're working to whatever. You know, it's like, yeah, we want sustainable wages for people. What the fuck? But they're looking for volunteers. So wait, you want people to work for you for free with the goal of getting people paid a living wage? God damn. And the fact there are people who are stupid enough to do that. Yeah, all right. Parker says he didn't make it all the way to election day. Right, because millennials can't fucking stick to it. Millennials are failures. Millennials are quitters. Right? I mean, how hard can it be? It's not like you're doing anything else. How hard can it be to just walk around and tell people how Obama is the Messiah and they should vote for him? I mean, the guy could not even commit and stick to volunteering for the Obama campaign, even though he's so desperate to create change in the world. And he's going to change the world. He's going to save the world. He's Parker East. He's going to bike across the country and build a Cobb oven. But he couldn't even stick to working for the Obama campaign to get the Messiah elected so that we could solve all the problems in the United States and give everybody free healthcare. Change. Parker says he didn't make it all the way to Election Day. Though he was getting paid for his time for a while, he ended up working for free for a month and a half. Well, then that's, if you're getting paid, you're not volunteering. He says up here he was volunteering for the campaign, but then he says he was getting paid for some of it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We can nitpick all day long. Quote, I had to ask relatives for money, unquote. Well, yes, you're a millennial. All millennials ask their relatives for money because none of you can create value for other humans. You're all parasites. Okay, when you get all your subsidized shit from the government, that's you asking your relatives for money. That's where the money to pay for the free shit you get from the government comes from, is the taxes stolen from your relatives. He left the experience feeling very naive. That's an interesting choice of words, I think. Left the experience feeling naive. No, I think he went into it naive because he thought that he was going to change things. He left the experience feeling very naive that despite his high hopes, he had hopes, politics would always be politics from top to bottom, bottom to top, and all the way through. Wow, politics will always be politics. The wisdom of the millennials. Parker believes that anything that can truly fix the system will have to come from the outside. There's a bunch of stuff. Do I need to read any of this? Yeah, okay. That brings us back to the reform versus transform debate. Can we affect the change we need from the inside, or do we need to create a new system entirely, and is it even possible with the power that's being lorded over us? The answer is no, it's not. The federal government has to collapse. There's no fixing it. Parker thinks the political framework behind the governing systems in the U.S. is so corrupt and ineffective that will engulf every scrap of a person's revolutionary ardor if they try to play ball within it until all that's left is cynicism. He's not wrong about that. His experience campaigning eventually pushed him to choose to live outside the forced anxiety permeating the collective psyche. In other words, he's a loser. Parker did motivate himself to volunteer on Election Day, even though he had not stayed for the entire campaign. Then Obama issued a $100 million expansion on Guantanamo Bay. Right, because I told you fuckers that Obama wasn't going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. Politicians, all of them, not just the Messiah, Trump and Fuhrer, he's going to put Hillary in jail. He's going to build a wall. He's going to keep the Muslims out. Politicians say what they need to say to get elected. And those of you who think differently are stupid. None of them are going to follow through on anything, except the great one. When you elect me president, when I tell you that I am going to, as president of the United States, commander-in-chief, implement a military coup and kill all of the Supreme Court and all of the fucking Congress and implement a dictatorship, I mean it. I'm going to do that. Parker, who is somewhat of a whiz kid. I'm not making this up. He's a whiz kid. He was dumb enough to think that Obama was going to bring change and shut down Guantanamo Bay. And he's going to bike across the country to build a cob oven. And he can't get a job, and so he has to pick his food off of trees. But he's a whiz kid. He's a whiz kid, guys. Parker, who is somewhat of a whiz kid, still keeps up to date with current events. Wow, he keeps up to date with current events. What an accomplishment. Wow, I'm stunned at you, Parker. You're amazing. Gosh, he still votes, that's part of the problem, usually for the Democratic candidate. Okay, wait, hold on, let me read the sentence to you, then we gotta go back. He still votes, usually for the Democratic candidate, because he's most concerned for the well-being of those living in poverty. Yet he goes back and forth, he says, because if the system is so broken, shouldn't he just vote for the people who will break it entirely? Quote, let's just put it this way. I vote for the same reason I turn off the lights when I leave a room. To save electricity? If you're in a car and you don't know and you don't like where it's headed, you don't take your hands off the wheel. Unquote. And there's more stuff after that about isms. The system is healing from years of gender inequality, classism, slavery, homophobia, racism, blah, blah, blah. All right, let's go back to the sentence. He still votes, usually for the Democratic candidate. Democratic, with a small d. Not Democrat, with a large d. I don't think Allison Lee Scher knows the difference between Democrat Party and Democratic. Because all the candidates in a Democratic election are all Democratic. I remember many moons ago somewhere on the interwebs seeing someone had written somewhere, you know, that we, the royal we, should have a republic. And how they put it, like a republican form of government, Republican with a small r. And somebody went all off on, how dare you say the Republican Party should control the government and all this other shit. And there was this backlash of people writing, are you too stupid to understand the difference between Republican Party and a Republican form of government? And it's the same thing. I don't think Allison Lee Scher, in-demand author and consultant, knows the difference between the Democrat Party and Democratic government. Okay, now, who is, you may be asking yourself, great one, Parker East, author, whiz kid. Who is Parker East? Let's explore Parker East. Let's explore this. Now remember, this guy is so amazing that he made it into Allison Lee Scher, in-demand author and consultant. Allison Lee Scher's book, The Millennial's Guide to Changing the World, A New Generation's Handbook to Being Yourself and Living with Purpose. This is a man who is changing the world and living with purpose. That's why he is specifically written about and quoted in the book, The Millennial's Guide to Changing the World, A New Generation's Handbook to Being Yourself and Living with Purpose, written by in-demand author and consultant Allison Lee Scher. Let's go down the rabbit hole, shall we? Here is the Facebook page of Mr. Parker East. Bored, February 26th, 1985. Personal interest. Self-annihilation. / self-manifest destiny. The abolition of work. His personal interest, one of his personal interests is the abolition of work. And pray tell, how are you going to go about the abolition of work? Worldwide population decline. That's his personal interest, is worldwide population decline. Post-marriage societal dynamics. Improvisational sociological experimentation. Legalization. It's just legalization. That's his personal interest, is legalization. One of his personal interests is getting permission from the government. Because remember, that's what legalization is. When the government legalized marijuana, dude, smoke weed every day, man. The government gave you permission to smoke marijuana, okay? Adults do not need permission. Children need permission. Slaves need permission. Advanced psychonautics. Those are his interest. He's got his contact information. He's got his phone number, his email, everything. Here we've got a link to his YouTube channel. Oh, we'll get to that. Hang on. Okay, more information. Affiliation. All-purpose co-conspirator. About a steed-bound bard for the 21st century, rolling on a black steel bicycle. Hot, fresh, spoken word served 24 hours a day at www.youtube.com/Mr. Parker East. So if we pop over to his YouTube channel, where if we're going to get some hot, fresh, spoken word, he has three videos. Two of them are from 5 years ago, and one of them is from 6 years ago. No, I haven't watched them. No, I'm not going to. Oh, yeah, I click on see more. See, I'll come, fuck. Hang on. Fucking get Facebook to do shit. There we go. Biography. Oh, okay, there we go. Oh, yeah, and his picture. No, I'm not going to log in, Facebook. Go fuck. No! God damn it, get the fuck away from me with your fucking pop-ups. Oh my God. You know what I hate even more than democracy? These fucking pop-ups on the internet. I will put his Facebook cover picture in the show notes. I'm not even going to try to describe it to you. Just go have a look. Biography. Parker East has been a rare book dealer, professional gambler, radio show host, senior state staffer on a presidential campaign, which we just read the quote where he said he couldn't stick it out and he worked for free, but that was a senior staffer on a presidential campaign. North Dakota homesteader. Wait, I thought he was homeless living on his bicycle eating food off of trees. How can a homesteader be homeless and living on their bicycle? In order to be a homesteader, don't you have to build a home? Competitive eater. Yes, my friends, competitive eater. Eater. I can't talk. He's a foodie. And Jeopardy champion. He took two stabs at organized education, though he managed to escape to bachelorhood without the ignominy of a baccalaureate. Oh, that's so funny. He took two stabs at getting through college and getting a worthless degree, and he couldn't hack it. Awards. He has some awards. Let's hear about Parker's awards. Because remember, he's a writer. I'm a writer. That's a Maddox joke. I'm a writer. All right, awards. Infallible per the nature of existence. Officially ordained Pope. And heir to the bounty of the universe. Finally, we have Mr. Parker East's gender. His gender is listed as plural, parentheses, mixed, close parentheses. So he has multiple genders. So this is who in-demand author and consultant Allison Lee Scher is quoting in her book about how millennials are going to save the world, how they're going to reform politics, how they're going to implement change, how they're going to fix all the racism and sexism and genderism of all those evil old white people who came before them. You know, those evil white people who created all the stuff that they have and enjoy, like Twitter and cell phones and electricity and roads and so forth and so on. Oh my God. Am I done? Wait, am I done? Did I get through everything? Jesus fucking Christ. I actually got through everything. So I'm not used to this happening. I'm not used to running out of material before the podcast ends. I'm a writer. Hang on. I got something we can go out on this. So Parker East, he's a writer. He wrote some shit on his Facebook page here. Where'd I copy this down? Come on. Come on, computer. Parker East, author. Nope. Here we go. Here's his writing. Bicycle Leg 4, Los Angeles to Costa Rica, Day 4. Enough of this lollygagging. Got a rep to uphold and a Slab City solace to celebrate. Though if you told me at noon I'd break 100 miles today, I'd have laughed in your face. Just after passing Coachella, I saw signs for a century-old medjool date farm, and as I was laughing to myself at the synchronicity, having just been informed you could find domestic medjools, I don't know what that is, a few days previous by my friend, wondered whether their world's best date cake had much competition. He doesn't use capital letters either. I pulled up to discover one of my rear panners had gone all invisible woman on me. I ran over to ask the baby-faced cholo in the nearest car if he would do me a huge what? Anyhow, my God, just kill me now. Yeah, if you want to subject yourself to this, go do it. I'm out.